The award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and James Brayshaw.
Ed, James is worried.
Oh.
No. He's worried that we're a bit intellectual on this program.
The bar has obviously been lowered to the point where you can't limbo under it.
Just imagine your own show, but every time you go to talk about sports, you talk about weird old films from the bottom shelf at the video shop.
Beautiful.
That's pretty much how
it
works.
I'm up for it. We've got one of Tony's jumpers for you to put on.
We'll be eating snacks. We'll be talking with our mouth full.
Yeah.
We'll have a psychic in today, Ed.
Really?
We need more psychic work on this show.
We need more psychic work.
What about Beasley-style gaffes?
So
you would have made a few of those, JB.
I can put the Beezer in the shade, and that's tough to do when you're 150 kilos.
What about you, Ed?
Beezer in the shade.
You're just going to copy what James is saying?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
He's a professional.
He's nutted out how show business works. It's all coming up on Get This, the future of entertainment.
At this point, it's not really an iPod killer. It's not even going to give the iPod a headache at this point.
Well, that's just now. By the end of the show, though. That'd be those hoodoo gurus. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon or good evening. Depends where you're standing. It's Get This Around the Nation. Myself, Tony Martin, that man, Radio's Ed Cavalli. And please, a big fat round for James Brayshaw.
Oh. Jeez.
Thanks for coming in, James.
Pleasure.
You know Richard Marsden on the buttons.
Old friend of Richard's, very talented man.
Had a day off on Friday. Let's just see if he's up to speed. What happens if I mention Toto? He's very fast. What about Mr. Howard? Mr. Howard, do you enjoy James Brayshaw's show in the morning?
The answer is yes, I do.
Oh, he's very fast. What about those rumours that James is returning to cricket? Is Shane Warne worried about that?
There's only one thing that really worries me, and that's hair loss.
Oh, he's back to speed. James, I know nothing about sport. You're a cricketer, but you host the footy show. What the hell's that about?
Well, I've made a complete switch. I actually find footy a much more entertaining game to call and watch than cricket at the minute.
Yeah.
So it's good, and it finishes quicker. It starts and finishes in a two-hour time. Whereas your test match is a long, long time to be sitting around.
Is that accurate, Ed?
Absolutely right. It's 5 days for your test match, Tone. How would you go sitting for 6 hours a day for 5 days watching a game of cricket, Tone?
What's that thing you do where you hold an invisible gun to your mouth? Like, that's what Ed does when I show him the music for the day show.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's great.
No, it is.
I'm not saying it isn't.
No, it is. Right. Now, Ed Cavalli, Tone, this man to my right here, I saw him cut a swathe through a Derby Day marquee, the like of which had to be seen to be believed.
That swathe is still going.
It was extraordinary.
What's he done now? He's worked out that there's free stuff.
Yep.
That there's free food.
Yep.
And he's obviously worked out that there's lots of available women in
the
race.
That's it. And he just looked like a man. I've never seen pheromones heading out of a unit quite so savagely. And he was looking at me like, JB, please, I don't mind you talking to me for a minute, but this is going a bit long now and this is chick time. This is chick time, Jim, bugger off.
Not the over the shoulder, pretending to still talk to your manoeuvre.
Extraordinary tone, you know. And Megan Gale was there and even Megan couldn't penetrate the Cavalli man.
Megan Gale is in so many ads in the paper, and we'll just be flipping through. And almost has she co-hosted? Yes.
I think so. I think she should be.
But Mick Malloy has her in all the time on his program.
He does.
Well,
she doesn't say anything. She just sits in a glass box in the corner.
Mick goes, "Ooh."
It was frightening to see the young man at work. There was Hamish and Andy in there as well. So there's some good-looking boys in this marquee.
It's a rat pack.
But Cavalli absolutely held his head up and dominated.
He was on. I have to congratulate you, actually, Ed, because I saw a DVD on the weekend of your appearance on David and Kim. Have you been? Oh, that's on an opposing network.
Yeah, I wouldn't have seen it then.
Wouldn't even know what it is. It's rubbish. It's the show where the bloke with the nasant mo keeps his legs way too far apart.
That's it.
What's going on? Is it Movember or something?
It's Movember.
Yeah. How come you haven't done it?
Can't shave. Don't shave.
Yeah. Really?
I'd have to start in January to get close to November hair action.
At the moment, you're kind of sporting a bit of a teenage.
Yeah, I know.
Kind of attempt, much like my bad self.
Yeah, you're actually in a similar hair growth situation to myself. Ed.
Pathetic, really.
Mind you, you're 15 years younger than me, so you've got an excuse.
I don't like Movember because it's getting in the way of our Rockvember. Remember, we were going to wait till everyone had Rocktober. We were going to have Rollvember.
Yeah.
And then it was going to be Funkuary. I don't know if that ever...
Never took off?
And Rapril. Just sounds ugly. It sounds bad. It's combining rap and April. It works on paper.
I know.
Disturbing when spoken aloud. Yeah. Foolish ideas.
In radio, you know.
For radio.
Yeah.
But we're working out how radio operates. and Ed Cavalier, you're on this show, David and Kim.
Hang on a second. They rang and they said, hey, guys, oh, massive fans of Tony Martin. Can he come on the show? No, Tony's got Late Line to watch. Would you like Ed?
Nerdsville.
Oh, well.
So they obviously had no idea who you were. No, and I have to congratulate you. You were really funny, but they didn't understand a word you were saying. What was that thing you said about time travel? If there's one way to confuse the host of a TV show, it's involve them in a time travel conundrum.
Yeah, it's too early. They were saying that a girl had won Fashions on the Field with a dress that she'd worn before.
Oh.
And she had then said that she had made that dress by herself 10 years ago. And I said, well, if I was to try and win a Fashions on the Field contest with what I was wearing 10 years ago, I would have shown up in a pair of hot tuna board shorts and a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle singlet.
Crickets. Tumbleweeds.
Spinifex.
Bafflement.
No.
Confusion.
Not even nervous laughter.
Oh,
just
no.
Just stunned.
Lead balloons were walking out in embarrassment.
No. Tone, can I ask you a question?
Please
do. If you're a late line man, I want you to answer me something I've always wondered. Laurie Oakes.
Yes.
Is it true that he just sits in the same place his whole life and they just move the chroma key behind
him?
They
just rotate the set. It's the same theory they were using on the Fat Man and Jake and the Fat Man, who never got out from behind that desk.
So that is actually true with Laurie?
That's what I've heard. They just super him in. He's just Jabba the Hutt. They just can drop him into any scenario.
And the suit itself is like quite hard. Like, it's got a lot of structural integrity. It's made out of cement. Yeah. And they just pour Laurie in every Sunday, pudding style.
Look, you're on that network, James. Yes. I know, you know, sports generally, that's your main topic, but you are a film buff.
Yes, I am. I love film.
What did you watch anything on the weekend?
What did I see on the weekend? My kids were having a look at, we just got it on DVD, Crash.
Oh, Crash.
Which I loved until this is it, Rich Marsland.
We
got about 10 minutes in and suddenly there's all this racism stuff being thrown around and I've grabbed my Channel 9 remote and given, I think that's probably enough of that one.
There's no cartoon fish in this. Could have been worse. You could have got that old Crash, that David Cronenberg one. That's basically a porno movie made by the TAC. You don't want to rent that one by mistake. Okay, but what do you put on for yourself? When Lady Brayshaw.
Yes.
When the kids have gone to bed, what might come out of the top shelf?
Well, what's that one that I've just bought that has got, now I can't think of the bloody name of it, but it's a romance thing, the...
Short Bus?
No. It's got the chick who is in... You're going to have to give me time
This is how I'd like to hear David and Margaret talking on Wednesday night. What's that thing, Margaret, with that guy that was in that other thing? Give us something to hold on
to. It's a love story, and I want to put it on because it's got the girl in it out of the show with Diane Keaton. Where she dies. You know the Diane Keaton one where she dies?
Oh, Family Stone?
Family Stone. The young girl in that who's absolute...
Rachel McAdams.
What's the love story called? Notebook.
I knew we'd get there.
This is like charades at a party.
You're not a Notebook man.
Ryan Gosling.
You're pretending to like the Notebook.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, but I've bought it. And my wife...
Oh, you love it.
She won't sit and watch it with me.
No.
Because she says it's too sad.
Yeah.
So I'm not watching. And I'm not watching it on my own.
See, if this was the footy show...
Can't you get the guys from the footy show around? Just give them all a call. Say, fellas, it's this afternoon... It's notebook night down at Brayshaw's.
If this was the footy show and James mentioned he was going home to watch the Notebook...
What would I do?
They would be stirred. 5 hen tutus would be taking the piss out of him.
Well, this is it. I cannot watch it on my own. My wife won't watch it with me. So it's in the plastic cover and there it will stay.
Okay.
But if you have to ask me which one I'll go back to, I've got a copy of Kelly's Heroes.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Which I absolutely love. I've got a copy of The Odd Angry Shot, which I believe to be Australia's greatest ever film. And I've got a copy of Caddyshack, and I've got a copy of Mad Max 2. So they're the four.
Wow.
If I have to go to my video to go, I just need something I know will deliver.
Where
one
do
of those
you stand on Midnight Run?
I love Midnight
How
Run.
How good is it?
Yeah, I love it. I love the accountant bloke, Charles
Grodin.
My favourite.
Isn't that one of the greatest performances in any film?
Yeah. It is.
Really? Where is he now?
He stopped. He retired.
Grodin. He did retire.
Yeah, he retired from acting.
It was all these guys from the 90s gave up at the same time. Yeah. Pesci.
Pesci's out of it.
Moranis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Grodin.
Yeah.
And of course, the late Bruno Kirby. Wouldn't it be great if they'd all come back in one film? And it'd be 1993 all over again.
with Ernest. Maybe Ernest goes to 1993.
What about Gary Busey?
I love Gary Busey.
I went up to a guy in a bar on the weekend and said, you look just like Jake Busey. And he didn't know who I was talking about.
Jake Busey, that's the son of
Gary
Busey.
Son of the man,
Busey.
Star of Starship Troopers.
Jake Busey.
Just performing teeth, Gary, though. Yeah.
That's right. And very bad on the World Poker Series. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
All in straight away.
All in with two deuces. That was his, after we've been talking for 10 minutes about how it was all about acting and bluff. And then he's just laid down the Busey juicy and off the set would not talk to Shana Hyatt. Would not even stop and pretend not to be looking at Shana Hyatt's cleavage and didn't stick around for the Beer of Champions with Mike Sexton.
Just teethed off.
What are those teeth? They're the same teeth that Hillary Duff's had installed. What are they called? Veneers.
Veneers.
Right.
But Busey's go straight out.
They do.
You know, they go like a balcony.
I think he hit the big mall he was riding in Big Wednesday, and that sort of teethed him and the rest of his
straight
life.
Straight out front.
Big Wednesday. Now he's at our level.
There we go.
Okay, you're ready to go, James. We've got to get to Beasley. We're going to find out who's dropped a Beasley over the weekend. That'll be next on Get This. That's enough out of you, Kelly Clarkson. It's Get This Around the Nation. JB, James Rayshaw from the Cage Melbourne and Sydney version is with us this morning. And who else should I mention? Richard Marsland is back on board. James, you've worked with Richard, have you?
I'm a massive fan of the Marsland, a very, very talented man. And he and I worked on SAFM Breakfast Radio. It's got to be nearly 10 years ago.
Oh, right.
And what was the show called?
It was called Amanda and James, I think, from memory. Yeah, and we had a lot of fun, Marsland and I. And we used to do this thing every year, SAFM did, the Sky Show, which dominated Adelaide.
Yes.
That you'd get like 250,000, 300,000 people in the Parklands assembled. And this thing would cost literally hundreds of thousands of dollars and thousands of man hours to put it together. Anyway, and the big thing was that the breakfast show would then do an OB from the Sky Show site that culminated in the money shot, Ed Cavalli, which was bang, hit play, and then the music and the Sky Show started, and it stopped a city.
Oh, wow.
Says a fair bit about the beautiful city of Adelaide. It stopped a city. So anyway, Rich and I are sitting there one time, and we've done this sort of hour of, you know, OB that's getting ready for the Sky Show to start. So countdown happens, of course. That's the last thing that happens.
Yeah. Don't worry. 7 minutes.
The anticipation at that point, Tone, has people unable to stand. Anyway, it's like 3, 2, 1, and we're waiting for the kaboom, you know, and the big sort of music to start, and it's 1, and 1.
Oh, no.
And 1. Anyway, and there's just nothing.
And what music should come in? What kind of music? Yeah. Eye of the Tiger?
It would have been back then something like that.
Yeah, it's all synced in, so usually it would start with something like a slow build to a massive explosion.
So the fireworks are timed to match the music.
That is it. So that Björk song, it's all so quiet. They'd start with that and then build.
I see red. They have red fireworks.
You know what we're doing here. Anyway, so we've got to the start, and it was so quiet that actually there was nothing. And Rich and I are looking at each other going, something's wrong here. There should be something happening. And like 10 seconds later, still nothing. Finally, the first fireworks gone up unaccompanied.
Oh, no, that's a sad look.
Just one's exploded on its own. And we've looked at each other and then we heard the real story that the boy back in the, well, the man back in the studio, whose only job it was to hit go when we got down to zero on the countdown, was on the toilet doing number two.
Oh, no. But I'm sure he was doing it in time to the music in his head.
So this 1,000 man hours, $250,000 worth of expenditure, busted up on the back of one bloke not being able to wait.
I've got time.
Yeah, okay. This will be too. It's oh so quiet. And I peek. I'm meant to be out there. And so when you were working with Richard in those days, was he often popping mysteriously down to something called the Veal Gardens?
No, I think James would be aware of Veal Gardens and what goes on there after dark. In fact, that's where we met.
Yeah. Oh, hello!
No.
Sport. Let's talk sport. Yeah. We've got James here. Ed Cavalli loves to invent new sports.
What did
you come up with on the weekend?
Last night we had the first ever Lounge Room Olympics in my house.
My goodness. Who was hosting?
When we got in there,
have been Bruce McAvaney.
He was unavailable.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we got his non-union equivalent, which was just me. So I was representing Chad.
Yep.
And John.
Powerful country.
Thank you very much. John was representing Scotland.
No.
And the International Observer was representing Caicos and somebody else.
That's the woman that Ed picked up at the races.
Right. Yeah.
So first things first.
That must have been after I'd finished with you. You were no single woman man at the time when I saw you.
It's going very well. Updates on the internet.
No, there aren't. Anyway, traditional dress first up. Everyone went into their room, came back out in a costume.
Yep.
After that, the first game was couch ball.
Ah.
You had to perch on the couch, which is ages away from the bench, and throw a ping pong ball into either the pan for 1 point, the glass for 20 points. It's impossible. It's just there to try and get people to waste attempts.
Yep.
The mug for 10 points, or the boozer, which was a box of Weet-Bix belonging to my flatmate Kelsey, who we call the boozer. And so that was worth 5 points. And the bonus was that she'd then find a ping pong ball in her
breakfast. Oh, nice one.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Delayed gratification right there. That went on for several hours. Then there was a bit of obstacle course.
Obstacle.
I failed in the obstacle course because I was running. You had to run around a broom 5 times.
Yes.
I ran around the broom, and then you had to put foot in front of the other and make it to the other side.
Yep.
And I fell into the coffee table, costing me valuable seconds. Lost that one badly. Came back in the table tennis, destroyed them.
Oh.
Won the darts unexpectedly. Had to come upstairs for a round of memory because there were just John was complaining there weren't any mind games. They were all depth perception, and because he has a glass eye that wasn't helping him, came upstairs and we were tied. It all came down to one last game of bounce ball. Mm. Now, bounce ball is harder than... sound ball.
No.
Where you lie down in the kitchen. It's a bit sticky, right? And then you roll a ping pong ball and you have to listen to where it is and you have to stop it before it gets past you.
Oh, yes. Haven't you got PlayStation at your joint?
No.
Are the doors all locked? Can you not get outside?
Exactly, Tone.
Do you ever need to leave?
No, well, John broke the aerial for the television, so you can't... Someone has to sit there and hold it in the wall if you want to watch TV.
Is that the observer's job?
No, it's John. He broke it. He's got to do it. So instead, we decided to make something up.
And is he unhappy with something? Have we said something on the show about him that he's...
No. He's upset because he wanted me to ask whether you ever faced... Who's your favourite cricketer, Tony? You and...
Me?
You and Sheffield. Yeah.
That was my default setting on Mark Molloy. If we ever had a cricketer in, I would just go, have you ever heard an interesting story about you and Chatfield? And no one ever had. Yeah. Richie Beno, I think, had about 12.
Really?
He's got an interesting story about everybody.
You and Chatfield I did play against only once for WA against New Zealand in a tour match that riveted, everyone who was at the Whacker on that occasion. And there are about 45 of them. But anyway, I'm facing this guy called John Blackwell, I think. John Bracewell, who was a spin bowler and a very angry man.
Yeah, really?
And I was only young at this stage, and he really took a disliking to me. So as I'm facing him, he's just climbing into me with the nastiest stuff you've ever heard. Anyway, at the end of an over, I'm walking up to speak to the bloke at the non-striker's end. Ewan Chatfield, coming from one side of the wicket, walking across to the other, this is true, has turned to me and he said, "Don't worry about him. He buries people for a living."
Wow.
Because he was a grave digger. That was his job, John Bracewell.
Wow.
And that's so Ewan said, "Don't worry about the angst. This is a man who buries people for a living."
That's the first interesting Ewan Sheffield story I've heard in 15 years.
There you go.
That's amazing.
I once went to a Sheffield Shield game, New South Wales versus Victoria, because my friend Jimmy was over and he wanted to go see cricket.
Yes.
That was the only thing that was on. Paid our $5 admission.
Yes.
Sat in the stands, and we were the only people in the whole stand. We were the only people there, and there was about 10 people spattered around the other way. I said, "Come on, let's make this interesting. Let's try and get ourselves on the vision
big screen,
on the big screen." So I said, "Let's start pretending to kiss. I guarantee they'll put us on the screen."
So we did, and then
we waited. And so, and sure enough, the camera comes over to us, and we're on the big screen, pashing on.
Nice
and
one.
We got a clap from the members, right?
That's technically a screen credit. Right. You should tell your agent about that. That should be on the resume.
The game was so boring, they replayed it in slow motion.
Wind beneath my wings underneath.
But hang on, that's a good... if you're trying to crack onto somebody at the cricket, they might put us on the big screen.
Get on the screen.
That's not bad.
Or you could involve the assistance of a psychic.
Ah.
The Cage earlier this year had a median on. Is it a medium? Yes.
She was a New Zealand lady.
Not a median strip. No, a New Zealand lady. And did she actually... Were you convinced?
No, I'm very sceptical when it comes to this. In fact, Bridge often has a go at me on the show because I don't believe any of it.
Right.
She believes all of it.
Well, we had a medium on the show very early on, and we've had a few requests to play that again.
Oh, good.
It's pretty convincing. Have a listen.
Sharon, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I'm picking up something from the other side. It's it's a name. It's a Marg or a Mary.
Who?
Or a Michael.
Michael?
Is it a Lance? A Leslie?
No.
A Nathan? Elizabeth?
It
Craig.
I was about to say Craig. Is he someone close to you? Is he someone dead? Is
he
someone?
My uncle.
Someone who was an uncle to you. He says that he's all right. He's feeling a certain kind of nonchalance, a certain kind of otherness, a certain kind of.
He was a milkman.
That's right. He was a milkman.
Yes.
He says not to worry about the about the
inheritance.
The inheritance. Correct. That's what he's saying. I'm reading that very clearly.
Yes.
And there's another gentleman coming in from spirit.
Someone else?
Your dad. Has your dad passed?
No.
What about your father's father?
He's still alive.
Still alive. What about your father's father's father?
He's dead.
That's what I thought. I'm getting a very clear reading. This was somebody. His name was Michael. His name was Lance. No. His name was Shane.
Huckleberry,
of course. That was next on my list. He's giving me a very clear message. Sharon, sweetheart, stay with me. Okay. He's giving me a very clear message. He's saying, don't worry about the operation. Is somebody having an operation?
No, we're having a party.
That's what he's saying to me, a party, a gathering, a get-together, a celebration. Okay. And you're there. Craig's dead. He's not there. But I'm sensing somebody else.
My sister.
Your sister. Is it Elizabeth?
Nicole,
she's there. And I'm getting a message from her.
But she's alive.
Maybe you're getting a message from her. Is she texting you?
No.
She's not. But are you there with your father?
No.
Your father, is he there? Is your father's father there?
No.
Is there anyone I could speak to?
Look, I'm confused.
Sweetheart, I'm getting the feeling that somebody's going into surgery. Somebody's going to see a doctor. Somebody's going to see
Shannon Knoll
in concert. They're going to see Shannon Knoll. And I'm sensing a vehicle. Is it a laser? Is it a Ford laser? Is it a
mountain bike? We've got a mountain bike.
A mountain bike. He's riding a mountain bike to see the Shannon Knoll concert.
Yes.
And he's saying to you, don't worry about the little one. The little one, of course, that was the daughter. The daughter who's passed on, who's still with you, who's who's with your sister.
My sister.
And she's sending a very clear message to me, sweetheart. She's saying, don't worry about
The cat,
because the cat's passed on. It's in a better place.
It's at the cattery.
A much better place for a cat to be, and it's sending me a message. It's sending me something.
Sending
it's saying,
message.
Is somebody having a birthday? Have you got a birthday coming up in the next week? Is there a birthday in your future?
Well, no.
In the next month?
My birthday's in September.
I'm getting a very strong sense of September.
Yes.
You're going to have a birthday.
Yes.
And somebody is going to be there.
Who's
your sister is going to be there. Phoebe. Is it Natalie?
Nicole.
You mentioned her earlier. That's the one. She's going to be there.
Yes.
And she's got her daughter with her.
Yes.
And she's got tickets to see
Shannon Knoll.
Another Shannon Knoll concert.
Yes,
that's right.
We're going again.
And she's saying everything's going to be fine.
Oh, my God, is she?
Everything's going to be fine.
Oh,
that's all right, Sharon. That's all right, sweetheart.
Oh,
it's going to be fine.
Oh, that's such good news.
That's all right. That's what I'm here for.
Simon Liminal. Non-specific generalizations from the other side. Book now.
Did somebody drown?
No.
Plane accident?
No.
Fell into machinery?
No.
Some kind of machinery?
No.
Was his name David?
No.
That was a shot in the dark.
JP, I have to say, that's pretty much word for word something I heard on your show.
I love the fact, I listened to that whole bit, and I love the fact that what we got down to in the end was this guy was going to get a phone call from his sister to say they go to a Shannon Knoll concert.
Well, it all made sense in the end. If you'd like us, it's the last 2 weeks of Get This, so if you want to hear anything, play. Here's what we were going to do. In the final week, we were going to go 3 hours.
Yeah, I know.
We almost do every morning.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
We're just going to go 3 hours and get Fleety would come in at unexpected intervals and we'd be able to, you know, replay things. Did I say intervals?
Yeah,
that's
you
when
did.
You know it's getting towards the end of the year. And then they said, oh, well, if you're going to do 3 hours, we want six songs an hour.
Oh.
And we're struggling with six songs.
It is fair enough.
Yeah, it is fair enough because it's their station.
Professional radio program. Mm.
And it's their station.
Yeah. It's completely fair enough. Let's play something.
But we could, if we went to play, it wouldn't sound like our show.
Well, it would. But just
with
heaps more Tal Backman.
Tal Backman.
So we're going with 1 hour so that it can stay sounding like this, i.e. waffling on for 7 minutes too long.
Yeah.
and then forgetting what comes next. So we're going to retain that flavour in the final week. Call
so what
us in
you're saying
with
is nothing's changed.
No.
Good.
But we're going to be replaying whatever it is you want to hear.
Right.
We're entering the by request era.
Oh, yes.
Of getting this. James, we still haven't priced a few cock ups and gaffs
good.
Out of you.
Yeah, I've got one.
Get them together, and that'll be next.
Get this.
I'm going to expose them as the sort of bullies they really are.
For the award winning Mercedes-Benz Vito.
Get now. This, it's around the nation. It's on Triple M or KOFM in Newcastle. Triple M once more, no longer U2FM. Only lasted a day. How'd you guys go with that?
Well, I'm a fan of the band, but not that big a fan that we ran U2 songs for 3 hours straight.
Wow. We had to go out to, Ed and I spent the afternoon at Patterson Lakes Primary School in Victoria on Friday, where they've got their own radio station, PLPSFM, School of Rock.
Wow.
24-hour broadcast. School
That's
kids.
Amazing.
At a primary school going 24 hours.
Yeah.
Work that out.
And no repeats.
That's a lot of material to chew through.
A lot of material.
Who's doing mid-dawns? How tired are they at finger painting the next morning?
Imagine the writer sitting there, the 10-year-old writer going, I'm out of stuff.
But even 7-year-olds are going, it was a bit too much you two today from you guys. Pull it back. Your rotates have got to be loosened up. You're not feeding in the golds. Got to feed in the golds and mix it up with the new releases. And by the way, you talk too much on your show. But we are going to be playing some highlights because we went on air. Mm-hmm. How weird's this? Mm. We've gone on air in their show, then we're going to get a tape of that and play it back on this show.
That's cool.
How Brechtian does this show get?
Oh, Brett's got a run today.
Don't quite know what
Good
that
for
means.
Him.
Fleety told me to drop it in. Makes you sound smart. Anything you'd like to mention on from your show? What is happening with the Melbourne-Sydney cage?
Well, what we've got happening at the moment is Stuart McGill has challenged us to a game of cricket, which I find quite interesting given that I'm the only one who has ever played cricket, and that was a long time ago, and I wasn't actually that good. And now you've got a test cricketer saying, we'd like to take you on
That's
in a game.
That's right. And who's in his? Who's in Stewie's team?
We're just giving him really ordinary cricketers so that he'll have no one except for himself. Oh, I think Bridge is playing for Stewie as well.
Okay.
And as beautiful as she is, I don't think she's a cricket maestro
right.
either.
Fair enough.
So that's coming up, all thanks to Wolf Blass.
Who's on your team? Who's on your
Well done.
How's that for product
placement? Well done.
I didn't even see it coming.
That was seamless.
When you started talking, I just sort of looked at you in stunned silence, wondering why you were talking Wolves for a second.
It is hard to think about.
That was really, really good.
It's hard to think about cricket without thinking of Wolf Blass.
I know.
Synonymous. So who's on your team?
Parko, of course. We've got, hang on a second, Mr. Cavalier, because I'm going to mention you in just a sec. Yes. Peter Byrne is there. Michael Slater.
Oh, he can play.
Former Australian superstars there. Shane Lee, Brett's quite overweight older brother.
Yeah.
The Scaredies.
The Swingers. I'm hoping a scared he can turn up.
Maybe a few ringings from the Brisbane cage.
Yeah, the Scaredies will get out stumped.
Yeah.
Yes. Look at you go.
Sport joke.
Is that sporting humour?
Sport joke. We've never had a sporting joke in 8 months.
Would Mick play with us, Tone, if we put the hard word on him?
If it was after about 4 PM, you might see him. If you know, his whole show is recorded. It was recorded in 2004.
Ah, beautiful.
All of this year's shows.
And Ed Cavalier.
Yes.
Now, do you want to front up and play?
I'm in.
Are you any good?
I'm all right. I bowl right. I'm interesting.
Yes.
And I would describe my batting as enthusiastic.
Right.
Whole team in satiny caftan lounges.
Ooh. That's
like the world leaders.
Yes.
The That's APEC hard. Leaders. Look at that, John Howard's in the satiny caftan.
That's why we can't get one. APEC, bottled up 9,000 of them.
And there's George Bush at the back, and there's Alexander Putin.
Putin.
Is
all
he
evil.
Wearing a satiny caftan? He's so evil. He'd be able to release his mystery gas from the caftan.
They've just all gone and stayed at the Versace Hotel and ripped off the curtains out of the rooms. Right. That's what they've done.
That'll do for APEC. All right, we've got the caftans on. It's almost time for cock-ups and blunders.
Oh, yes.
That's music? Coming up next. Music, what have you got for
us? Well, hang on a second. We've had a brace or executive decision.
Have we?
I had a look.
Hang on.
Have a look at the old music sheet here. And I said to Mars Land, we can either go with Solid Rock by Goanna, which I think's a thoroughly underwhelming track, or we can flick it down a little to a man who goes by the name of Tal Bachman, the son of Baby You Just Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
Wow, what a choice.
I reckon that way.
All right. Well, then you and I are going to play it then. James,
go on.
You've got the electric guitar.
I'm ready.
Just play it sort of like a moody finger pick.
Got me axe, yes.
Yeah, and I'll just book a piano, I guess.
Go on.
No, Rich? Well, I'll just see how I feel. 2, 3, 4.
Nice piano.
It's quiet, but it's there.
Your bit's coming in a minute.
Tinkling the ivories with a guitar.
She's black, flesh and bone. Now types of silicone. She's touch, smell, sight, taste and sound. Things should happen. I know where I belong, and nothing's gonna happen. Yeah. Cause she's so high, high above me. She's so lovely. She's so high, like Cleopatra, Joan of Arc, or Aphrodite.
Tell Backman.
Off the old block.
Thank you.
Get this.
What a dynasty.
James Brayshaw from the Melbourne-Sydney Cage is with us.
Emails. So many emails. We're going to have to do just a week of emails, I'm afraid.
You keep saying it, but when are we going
to
do it?
I mean, we'll just have to come back and do an extra week. Do you get many emails, James?
Yes, not many of them complimentary.
Really?
No.
Oh, you don't have someone like Nikki filtering out the scary ones?
Yeah, we have
I actually get someone showing me the really bad ones.
All right.
Good on you. Well, we've had... Because how many scary ones do you have to filter out a day, do you reckon, Nikki?
It's only two or three.
Oh, really?
All from the same person?
Generally.
All from Mick Molloy? A lot of people, Jackie Webster, want to know about this book I've been discussing on Ian Nerd King. No, it's not called Nerd King, although you'd think it would be.
Yeah.
I've been discussing it. It's King Dork by a man called Frank Portman. It's a really funny novel, technically young adult, but I didn't even know that when I was reading it.
Okay.
Hilarious. If you were a dork at school, this is the book for you. Will Ferrell's production company has just bought the film rights.
All right.
But he'll be too old to be King Dork.
Well, let's not worry about that just yet. All right?
Maybe the CGI that makes him look young.
Here we go.
You see that the X-Men, the third X-Men movie? They open with that weird-ass scene with Ian McKellen and who's the
Patrick
other bloke?
Stewart.
Yeah, with the young
digital work to make them look, it look just look weird.
Really weird. They just sort of got rid of all the features of their face.
Yeah.
They just look like two kind of like coasters.
No, oh, really?
It's yeah, kind yeah. of like what you're using on Sam Newman on the footy yeah. show. Yeah. Similar technology, I think, James.
Yeah. Sam's just been up to Sydney to get his latest clean-up.
Oh, really?
He looks very frightening. I saw him just on the weekend. Oh, God, Samuel, we haven't had enough time yet to settle back in.
It hasn't set yet. Leave to stand for a week. And are you heading for Brisbane, did you
say? I am going to Brisbane in a couple of hours. We've got the imaginatively named Ashes to Ashes tomorrow night. So, very nice. It'll be a couple of hours previewing the Big Ashes series.
Ed's from Brisbane. Which part of Brisbane are you from?
Ashgrove.
Ashgrove.
Yeah, left when I was 13. The best time, it's a great place to, because I had a very Huckleberry Finn existence, always covered in mulberries and stuff. Oh. And then we moved to Sydney.
Wow.
Really? I lived in New Farm when I lived in Brisbane.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
I lived next door to the Village Twin Cinema.
Of course you did.
Mentioned in Nick Earle's Zigzag
yeah,
Street.
Yeah, great book.
But now I think gone. Might be wrong there. Apologies if I am wrong.
What have they got instead?
I don't know.
Apartments. Hey? Hey?
Tuscan style apartments.
This is the terracotta, hey, wall to wall.
Made of polystyrene, most of these apartments, I hear.
That's the AM section of our program, James.
Yeah,
that's
us. Yes, I like
the soapbox.
Give us a
section.
Call. What do you think? let's go FM again.
Oh,
what else happened on the weekend? Oh, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. The most beautiful fake wedding of the year. Don't you think? And I love this. Page boys were ordered to have a wash, a shave, and a session in a sunbed to look their
session?
Forcing them into the sunbed.
What kind of session are we talking about?
I don't know. Well, maybe it wasn't a sunbed. Maybe it was some sort of Scientology
Thetan
mind wipe device.
That's what it was.
So they wouldn't be able to remember anything that happened at the wedding.
Apparently 300,000 people showed up.
Who would have thought that at a Scientologist wedding, the Beckhams could be the weirdest people? That's just frightening.
And that thing that Victoria Beckham does of coming out and striking a pose, good for photos, makes you look insane and moving footage. And she just, doesn't matter how much work she has done, still has the nose from the people from the local shop on League of Gentlemen. There's nothing you can do. But, of course, the big news was, have you got the Beasley theme there? Have you got the, Mr. Theme. Mars, a little out of shape, takes a day off and he's lost it.
There we go.
I'm sure we all know. Well, Ed Cavalier hadn't heard about the Beasley gaffe.
No, I didn't watch. I haven't been watching the news for the last 4 days. I've been, designing the Lounge Room Olympics.
I think everyone knows what we're talking about.
Our thoughts and the thoughts of many, many Australians will be with Karl Rove.
Yes, Karl Rove.
It's a bit sad, isn't it? But we've all kind of done that, haven't we? We've all done that occasionally. Have you dropped any of those?
I'll tell you what I did one time, Tone. I was calling a game of football in Brisbane at the Gabba, talking about Brisbane. And it was the West Coast Eagles against the Brisbane Lions, and the ball went into the West Coast Eagles forward line. And just to quickly explain, if you allow your defender to go to the ball and you stay back, you sort of, well, what I said was, I said, Matera sucks off Johnson. Which meant he let him go to the ball and he stayed back. But I said he sucked off Johnson.
And that was went to air?
It's clean to air across the Nine network around the country.
Fantastic.
You reckon Spinifex came after that joke Cavalier told? You could have rolled it. It was like High Plains Drifter.
And you can't really sort of cover it up, can you, without making it worse? Who was that bloke? Was it Sandy Roberts years ago? The famous quote where he was meant to say Leanne Dick and called her Leanne Cock. And you just, there's no way out of it.
No.
You can't pretend you meant something else.
And imagine you're in the other room, James. Like you sort of half had your eye on the football, half on other things. You would have come running in. What? It's new.
And you know the
it's
thing
a new
about
tactic?
And this will tell you, Dermot Brereton, who was a special comments bloke that day, this is what a turd of a man he is. Because Dwayne Russell, the other commentator, was trying to come in and save me, and Dermot's tackled him away from the microphone.
No, let it stand.
Leave the silence there a bit longer.
Have a look at this. This is Saturday's Melbourne Herald Sun, and they're making a lot of fun of Kim Beasley for his Rove gaffe. And then you turn the page, and here is Belinda Emmett's funeral.
Yes.
Very first picture, Vince Colosimo and Jamoan, both of their names spelt wrong.
Oh, hey.
That's a case of
Pot kettle!
Pot kettle.
I'd be there, Herald Sun. Right there.
Mm.
Cock-ups. I'm trying to think. We had, cricketers, David Boone.
Oh, yes.
He came on Martin Malloy one time. Didn't say a lot.
No, he's not a very talkative man, David.
But he stops. And I, for some reason, halfway through the interview, started calling him about three times in a row, Dan.
Why?
I mean, who gets Booney's name wrong? And wasn't until afterwards we thought, I thought he was...
Did you think he was like... what
Daniel Boone.
Daniel Boone.
Yeah,
exactly.
The name Daniel Boone stuck in my head.
Was he wearing a raccoon hat?
No, he wasn't, but we did try and make up for it by getting him to join us in a rousing chorus of Daniel... David Boone was a man. Was a big man. And we tried to make it seem...
Kind like
of,
you meant it.
No, like you meant it. Well, that wasn't so bad.
I think I dropped a Franklin at the primary school the other day.
Oh, you didn't drop a Franklin. We're at Patterson Lakes.
Not in
front of the kiddies.
Yeah, and in front of the mascot and the assistant principal.
Yeah.
There was 12 kiddies there with hope in their eyes.
Yes.
And I just threw out an F word the first sentence I spoke.
I think you just did one then.
That sounded like one as well.
Slipped another one out.
What is that? That sounded like one.
That's a random Franklin.
It wasn't.
In front of the kiddies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The thing I noticed is I made a joke, and I didn't mean to. It just happened by accident about E.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They said something
you
about E.
You did too.
All of the kids pissed themselves. There's like 7 or 8-year-old kids, and they all knew what I was talking about.
They're like, how old's Tone? He's still talking about E's.
Yeah.
Oh, we've 90s. Moved way on from that.
How embarrassing. Gaffes and blunders.
Dave. About you, Marslin?
My broadcasting career is totally unblemished.
Oh.
Can't think of one.
What about your Veal Gardens career?
Yeah. I mean, that was a misstep.
All right. Well, let's get the listeners on board.
Hang on, but we need something.
Prizes?
No. What do we need? Rich, don't we need some kind of, what did you call it? Something to let them know what's coming up?
Oh, yeah. So they drop their gaff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we have Mr. Beasley say.
Slothful and incompetent.
Now, what's that? What's that Rich?
Called?
It's called a sonic action trigger. And it's a little punctuating sound effect that often, you know, during radio commercials and that, you'll hear the very same jingle sung the same way.
See, we would just call it the cock-up sound. Just put in the cock-up sound. But we meant to say...
The sonic action trigger.
Listen to you. Haven't you come on since SAFM? Sonic action trigger.
1-3-3-5-3 is the number to call. I have that feeling we're not going to have time for
us. No, we'll get in.
We're going to have time for a song?
We'll get it in. We'll get it in.
We might not have time for the sonic action trigger if we play a song.
Now, come on. Give it a go. Let's give the song a whirl.
Call us up with your Beasley style gaff and blunder. 1-3-3-5-3. That's Eskimo Joe with Sarah here at Get This. James Brayshaw is with us. I can't hear that. Apparently, Alex, one of our emailers, reckons that they've sampled the... Never-Ending Story theme by Lamal in there. I couldn't hear it.
I want to hear it.
Yeah.
Lamal.
But we're busy because we're up about. We're trying to find, have you made a Kim Beasley, Carl Rove style blunder your own self? Who's on the line?
Hi, Brian.
Hi, how you going?
Really good, sir. What happened to you?
I was at a funeral and the preacher was standing there and he sort of looked at everybody and he said, like all of you, I knew Lorraine well. And we all sort of looked at each other and thought, we're at the wrong funeral. Until somebody tapped him on the shoulder and he said, I mean Shirley.
Slothful and incompetent.
Indeed. Thank you, Mr. Beasley.
And,
How'd they cover up for that one?
Yeah, how'd they get out of that?
He did. He just kept going on. And we were all sort of sitting there biting our tongues, trying not to laugh.
Just forged on.
You don't want to laugh at a funeral. Not ideal.
No.
Not early.
Not early. Late is fine.
You want to show up laughing your head off.
Yeah.
You
know? It's got to be a bit of a tie loosener earlier on. But okay, guess what? That man, sir, would you like a copy of Illegal Download?
I certainly would.
And our new limited edition Get This album. And what about this as a bonus? Tahir Live, the new DVD from Tahir Biljic.
Oh, great.
That's going to be stacked on there.
Done.
We've got so much to
myself.
Oh, sorry, the man just drove under a bridge while we were talking to him.
Okay, hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
Really good. What happened to you?
Well, we were running, my business partner's a guy, we were running a staff training session for a group of local government managers, most of whom were women, and it was morning tea time. And as we were going to morning tea, my business partner said, well, I'd like everyone now to take an opportunity to go outside and spread their legs.
Slothful and incompetent.
and was the opportunity taken up?
Well, I didn't witness it, but possibly.
Oh.
Spread your legs.
James is writing that one down.
Yeah,
I can use that.
Next time I'm in seeing something, that's the first thing I'm going to say.
Hello, Michael.
G'day, fellas.
What happened to you, sir?
All right, well, get this. Yeah. I'm an MC at a wedding.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to propose a toast to the bridesmaids. I get up and stand up and say, ladies and gentlemen, some very beautiful ladies here today. They put a lot of work into it. The wedding, helping the bride. Ladies and gentlemen, can we be upstanding and propose a toast to the barmaids?
Slothful and incompetent.
That's fantastic.
That could be way worse, though.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That a
was...
copy of Tahir Live for that man and everyone today, as well as a legal download.
Well done. Well, last thank you. Hello, Peter.
Hey, how are you, fellas?
Good. What happened to you, sir?
Well, I copped a double whammy. I did your typical ask a woman how pregnant she was.
It's popular.
Wasn't pregnant. But the second part of it was I'm a chef in the kitchen. I had this larger lady carrying boxes, lifting flour and stuff. Didn't want to ask anymore if a woman was pregnant. Okay. Someone walks up to me and says, do you realise that she's 3 months pregnant and she shouldn't be lifting anything?
Oh, you can't win.
Slothful and incompetent.
You just can't win there.
So you've sent the pregnant lady to work. You're kicking back dealing with the sources, and you said, right, can you get the big boxes out the back? Peter, you're a taskmaster.
A friend of mine did the old asking a large woman if she's pregnant, and when she was offended, he tried to claim, this is not a bad attempt to get out of it, he claimed it was a catchphrase from Little Britain.
Oh, beautiful.
And then she's going, that one next time.
I've seen every Little Britain, and that's not a catchphrase, so he was sprung.
What about a friend of mine's wife, who was legitimately pregnant and showing quite considerably, used to take great delight in saying to men when they came up and said, how long have you got to go? What are you talking about?
Oh, yes.
Worked them over.
Slightly
perhaps,
evil.
Perhaps it is. If she was surprised, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Look at your belly.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
How long has that been there?
Katie Cruz. Someone's just strapped this on.
Who else is cocked up?
That's it.
Oh, that's
it. We're done, Tom.
All right, all those people, stay on the line for a copy of our album. And a copy of Tahir Live, which is in the shops now. James, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
See, wasn't that hard?
I think that's going to be a rating spike.
Yeah. Oh, we need a spike.
Good cubes.
Then we can play our, what is it called?
That Sonic thing. Action Trigger.
Sonic Action Trigger. We'll have a new one of those tomorrow.
Yeah.
We've got to mention the cage, obviously, every morning.
Absolutely.
Things, what is going on at the moment?
Ashes to Ashes on Tuesday night, of course, on the wonderful Nine Network.
Yeah.
And fine breakfast programs in other states.
Absolutely.
That's
it. Right.
I'll have you know. And our key phrase today.
I think it came from James.
Yeah, what was that thing he said?
Matera sucks off Johnson.
There you go. We'll be back tomorrow with who?
Jane Kennedy.
Jane Kennedy's back on the show. She's been pregnant occasionally.
Yeah.
She'll have something to say. It's all thanks to the Mercedes-Benz Vito.